We're in part two of a series on the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd Psalm, and so I encourage you to grab out your sermon notes or if you go online to the YouVersion app, I've got the notes loaded on there as well. You can follow the instructions in the sermon notes. There's a video doing the rounds at the moment. It's called When You Lie on Your Resume About Having Previous Sheepdog Experience. Okay, so work with me on this. So we're doing about sheep and sheepdogs and shepherds. So I saw this funny video and I thought it suited well. So obviously the sheep usually are rounded up pretty well by a good sheepdog. But this guy, Nelson, the dog, probably oversold himself in this. Have a look at this.
Nelson here. Nelson, come here. Here, here, here. Nelson, come here.
I think it's supposed to work the other way around somehow, but... So that's not how to do it. As I said, we're in part two of 23rd Psalm, which is looking at the good shepherd, how God shepherds us. And I encourage you to go online and have a listen to that sermon from last week. It was one that sort of came out of an experience in Zimbabwe where I shared with the pastors in a breakout group, and just fairly much on the spot they asked me to talk about pastoring. And I went to the 23rd Psalm and just talked there. That's about David's experiences that he had as a shepherd boy. That he was a shepherd, he was looking after his sheep the day that the prophet came to anoint him as the new king. And he learnt from his experiences shepherding sheep, he understood how God shepherded his people. And he understood, as leader of Israel, as king of Israel, how to shepherd his people, Israel. So I encourage you to have a look at that, because there's a whole lot of really interesting insights that we get from the first part of the psalm. So that is there, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores or he refreshes my soul. And I looked at a couple of things last week, that when it says he makes me lie down, it's not as if God is, or even the shepherd, is putting the sheep in a headlock to making him lie down. You know, God creates the conditions by which the sheep are able to be fed and watered properly. And that's one of the responsibilities of the shepherd. And the phrase, he restores or he renews my soul, is one of the many agricultural terms that David often uses in the Psalms to describe, just as he would be used to working the sheep, how God treats his people. To restore is to tip up a downcast sheep, a sheep that's been tipped on its back because the weight of the wool's too heavy or it's just got in a bit of a depression. And how the shepherd, David, had experience of restoring, tipping up the sheep, letting them find their equilibrium again, find their sea legs. And then it takes the time to do that. So there's all these wonderful insights that we looked at the last week in the psalm, and we'll continue it this week. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One of the most basic things we looked at last week, and we said about sheep and shepherds, is that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep don't and can't organize themselves. They need the shepherd in order to survive. You know, we said last week that the sheep don't go, hey, Sean, because all sheep are called Sean. Sean, if you can just check out that back paddock, you know, this one's a bit low, I think we need to go there. You know, that doesn't happen. Sheep left in a paddock will just eat it absolutely bare, down to bare dirt. And shepherds know about good management of the sheep, and that is to take them from paddock to paddock. That's the shepherd's job. Sheep will follow direction, but they need direction. Sheep left to their own devices will not look after themselves. And looking it up, you learn so much about being a pastor, but a well-controlled, managed grazing program can increase forage by 30 to 70%. There, you didn't know that, did you? But if a shepherd manages the paddocks well, there's increased food in order for them to eat. So a shepherd's responsibility is to be able to do that. Otherwise, the sheep will continue to eat the grass and there'll be nothing left. And so if the shepherd is going to lead the sheep to that better place, then he's going to need to lead them in paths that lead them to the next pasture. They won't lead themselves, but when they get to the right place, they will feed themselves when the conditions are right. And so as a good shepherd, and that's what David knew as a shepherd boy, that's what he understands that God does for us, and he as a leader of his people needed to do the same thing. A good shepherd knows where to go. A good shepherd knows that path. He knows, because he's prepared that way ahead. He knows what's happening ahead of time. And a good shepherd will plot the path and work out where they need to go, when to speed up, when to slow down to do that. Because the health of the sheep is actually a reflection of the shepherd. One of the things that, as I said, because sheep need a shepherd, if sheep are in bad condition, it's not their fault. It's the fact that the shepherd hasn't been taking them to the right places. Bonnie and I have talked about different translations, and she said, "Oh, read it in the, it's one called The Voice, which I colloquially call the John Farnham version." But it says this: "Steering me off worn, hard paths to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name." Because a good shepherd wants the sheep to reflect well on him. And God wants our character, our growth, to reflect well on him because of the way that he leads us. It's paths that echo his name. It's for his glory that ultimately it has to happen. Unfortunately, to get there, sometimes that road from here to there, because the shepherd's not going to leave us here, but to get to there will be through some difficult places. And in verse 4 it says, "Though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And again, in the Voice translation of that, it says this: "Even in unending shadows of death's darkness, I am not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments, near with your protection and guidance. I am comforted." I said last week that probably the classic book on the 23rd Psalm is a book by the name of A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm by a guy called Philip Keller. He was a shepherd and had that experience of looking after sheep in similar to a Middle Eastern environment. And his book has a lot of stuff about the meaning of the different passages there. And he says this: "The shepherd knows from past experiences that predators like coyotes, bears, wolves or cougars can take cover in the broken cliffs and from their vantage point prey on the flock. He knows that the valleys can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods and that send walls of water rampaging down the slopes. There could be mudslides or rock slides or a dozen other natural disasters that would destroy or injure the sheep. But in spite of such hazards, he also knows that this is still the best way to take the flock to the high country. He spares himself no pains or trouble or time to keep an eye out for any danger that might develop." And I think that says that pretty well. You know, we want to go from here to there, but we've got to make sure that the Good Shepherd will lead us in those places and be aware of his leading and guiding through those dark times. I want you to notice two things about that part of the psalm that are just small, but I think quite significant. Firstly, David goes from speaking about God to speaking to God. I said last week that the psalm is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not just giving a simile or a metaphor. God is like a shepherd. That's nice. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. But he's still talking of God in that distance. But then he says, as the psalm goes on, for you are with me. You comfort me. And I think it's important that we personalize our relationship with God. It just emphasizes that again, that it's not a distant thing or just a family thing. It's our personal relationship with God through Christ. Second thing to notice is that the shepherd goes from leading the sheep out front, at the front of the sheep, to being with the sheep amongst them. It says, he leads me, he guides me. And of course, in our pictures, I always go to those school books with those massive flocks of sheep and the big sheepdog that didn't lie on his resume, so he knows how to round up the sheep from behind. But the Middle Eastern shepherd always led from in front. And he would lead the way and call the sheep, and they would follow like that. But when the tough times come, he's just not with the sheep in front. He's with them in the middle, right in their midst. This was pointed out again. I saw this just in the last couple of weeks. A guy called Dave Adamson, who was a presenter on Fox Sports News in the early days. He now works as a pastor and deals with a lot of social media. He goes to the Holy Land a lot and has a lot of insights into those different Middle Eastern practices and how they give us a greater meaning in Scripture. So Aussie Dave said this, one morning in Israel I hiked into the desert really early in the morning. I found two shepherds tending to their flock, which included this lamb. So this was actually a picture of the lamb that he saw in the flock. Before the sun rose and the world was still dark, these two young shepherds walked in the middle of the flock. It was an interesting sight to see them surrounded by their sheep. And then as the sun rose and everything became light, the shepherds moved to the front of the flock, leading from where the sheep could see them. And then Dave writes, I didn't realize it at the time, but these shepherds were following the picture painted in Psalm 23. You see, at the start of this ancient poem, the shepherd leads the sheep by still waters from in front of the flock. But when the sheep in the psalm enter the dark place, the shepherd moves to be amongst the sheep where he can comfort them. I didn't understand the change in language until I had seen it for myself in the Holy Land. I think that's really important to understand, that God will lead us from one place to another. And to get from here to there sometimes has to go through a difficult time. But even when we're in that, God is still with us, and sometimes not even just out in front of us leading, but right in the midst of us helping. And even if you're in a dark place today, I want you to know that God is with you all through that time. Now I'm going to end it fairly abruptly there because I know there's more to go in the psalm, but there's also more to go in terms of a major announcement that the elders want to make. I said last week as I shared the psalm, it was, I believe God had led me to do that because I certainly hadn't prepared anything for the pastors in Zimbabwe, and I felt the Lord had led me to speak on this. And I think what I've said will resonate even more when Anthony comes up and just makes that announcement. Thanks, Anthony.
I'd like to share a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23 with you. This is Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. His holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. For over a year now, the elders have been giving a lot of attention to discern what is God's will for Whitehill going forward. What do we believe should be the vision statement that becomes a focus of our energies as a church and unifies the various ministries of our church? Through this process, there have been interviews with staff, meetings with an external facilitator, advice from an external consultant, and much prayer. And as we read in Ephesians, our prayer has been that God will give us his spiritual wisdom and insight. We know that the ministry of church is greater than all of us or any one of us. The church is his body and made full and complete in him. As a group of elders, we know that we are tasked with the responsibility of discerning God's will for this church and to have the boldness to be obedient. The current church strategic plan for Whitehill ran from 2014 through to the end of this year. Darrell Sipe's current term as senior pastor here at Whitehill was also aligned with the end of the current strategic plan. After much prayer, the elders both individually and collectively have come to the unanimous position that we believe it is God's will for us to not call Darrell for another term. In discerning this next step as an eldership, we are fully convinced of two things. Firstly, Darrell has been a great blessing to this church, and God has given him many gifts in ministry, and this was evidenced again recently in the great ministry that he had in Zimbabwe. We are truly appreciative of what God has done through him in this church and his faithfulness in service over so many years. We are fully convinced that God has plans for him and Bonnie, and that he will continue to serve God in ministry in the church to which God is calling him. We have a strong sense that we are sending Darrell out and releasing him to boldly step into a new ministry that God is calling him. Secondly, an end of a chapter in a novel is not the end of the book, but rather as you turn the page, another exciting new chapter is there before you. We are convinced with absolute certainty that God has plans for this church and the next stage of the journey. So where does that leave us? As a church, we are coming to the conclusion of our 5-year plan and have already begun planning for our next season. That planning is likely to take the best part of the next few months, and we would like you to be part of that. Once we have a plan for the next season of the church, we'll have a clear idea on what our future ministry will look like, and we'll recruit a senior leader accordingly. To ensure a smooth transition, we've brought together some leaders from the church to help steward us through this next season. So please be in prayer for Darrell and Bonnie, the eldership, the ministry team, and for each other as we embark on this new season together. I'd like to invite Darrell and Bonnie to the stage.
Thanks, Anthony. I did ask the elders an opportunity to respond, and I want to do that. I guess to To some of you, it may come as a shock or a surprise, as it did us. We've at least had the opportunity for 10 days or so to work through it, whereas you've just had it the last 10 seconds. So I understand it's your head's spinning as ours was to start, and there's a lot of stuff to process through. I'm sorry I haven't been able to tell as many people as I wanted, and I've still caught up with people through the week, and it's just been one of those things I've had to keep to ourselves until we've told the whole church so that you know. So I'm sorry that that's been the case of not having to tell so many people that we've had an amazing journey with over 25 years. I don't know what we will do in the future. It's still too new. We've just got to take one step at a time. Bonnie's been through it with her job at Churches of Christ this year and has been able to get employment again with Churches of Christ, so that's great. And I'll be in the same position, but just not knowing. The role, the responsibility, I'll still go on as pastor, and I said to the elders, I'm still committed to making the transition as smooth as it can be, to be positive on my way out, to do that, to continue my role as pastor. But the responsibilities, some of those that I have, will be different. Anything going forward, I obviously will not be playing a part in that going forward. But on the day-to-day responsibilities and preaching, I'll still preach up to, and we're still in negotiations with that, but God willing, finish about the end of January or somewhere around there. And the relationships I would want to continue too. We're not going out with any bad blood, and we've worked through stuff together as much as we can and want to continue. Whatever happens when we see each other going forward, I'll still be interested in how you're going. And if I say, would you like fries with that order, we can still, you know, talk about that. My attempt at humour. Even another joke, but it was appropriate. Even the psalm says, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. Well, I've told the staff this week and they've been comforting me very much. Paul and I think Julie probably shouldn't be here with holidays, but they've come to support me today, so I really appreciate that. I've heard of other people in their leaving, and as a preacher's point, the three points I got, and they all rhyme. First thing I feel is grief. I mean, this is a loss of something that's been really important in my life, and I will miss that day-to-day responsibility of studying the Word of God, finding those insights, and what I've done this morning, just sharing it with people. I will miss that. I miss the opportunity to invest in people's lives and to share in the joys and the sorrows of people's lives. That's a huge responsibility that I have. I take it seriously, and just to be able to do that, I will miss. I will be grieving that. I'll miss working with great staff and the honest conversations we have to work what is best in the church. I'll miss the privilege of giving gospel help to people in their everyday lives. So there's a grief that I will go through. A little bit, but not strong, is a relief. I won't miss the 2 a.m. phone calls for the gecko that climbs up over the motion sensor and have to come down and check. I won't miss the criticisms. I won't miss those things. But most of all, honestly, belief. Grief and relief, but belief. I still believe in God. I still believe in Jesus. I still believe that Jesus died for my sins. I still believe what I preach. I believe in the church. I believe God is with us in this journey that we take. Sometimes our paths coincide and sometimes they don't. And I just appreciate the fact that we have come through this together. I'm sorry that's worked out the way that it has, sort of blindsided a bit, but as I said, we'll get on our feet. And Bonnie said, be a Tigger, not an Eeyore. At least I can be a Winnie the Pooh instead or something, maybe. I want to thank Bonnie for her support that's been constant and unwavering. She sometimes sees the worst side of me as I struggle with things that I bring home, but she's been great. I want to thank you for the encouragement you've given over, you know, 24, 25 years we've been on this journey together. Some of the young people weren't even alive when I started. We've seen babies born and babies dedicated, little kids baptized, the weddings, all those sort of things. It's been a wonderful journey to travel together. And even though, as I said, we can't have that unique relationship as a pastor, I'm still interested in everyone, what we do going forward. So I really thank you for the journey that we've been on, and look forward to what is to come for both of us. Can't believe that so many years ago God took a shy, I think unremarkable, unassuming young man and shaped him. I was willing to do anything God would want, and I think what God did through me, he could have done way better through more gifted and more talented people, but that would have been too easy for God, so I think he chose someone like me. So thank you for the journey together, and we look forward to what's to come. Always pray with joy because of our partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion for the day of Christ Jesus.
We'd like to pray together now.
Lord, we humble ourselves before you. For you are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Author of creation. You know our words before they are on our lips. You know our hearts, and Lord, you knew the number of our days before they began. You are indeed Lord of all. Lord, we thank you for the many years of faithful service from Daryl here at Whitehill. We thank you for his desire to serve and honour you in all that he does. We thank you for Bonnie also, Lord. We thank you for the way that she has stood by Daryl and supported him through all of these years of service. Lord, we thank you too for the leaders that you give us and the way that you empower them to do your will. We thank you for the strength that you give them when times are tough, the peace that you bring them when they need rest. Lord, we thank you for your guidance in all that we do. Lord, as we know that we are ending a chapter in the life of Whitehill and the beginning of a new chapter, Lord, we know that you have in mind great plans for Daryl and Bonnie and Whitehill. We recall your words in the book of Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." May Daryl and Bonnie know your peace at this time. May they know your leading for them, the glorious inheritance that you have in mind for them. Lord, we pray for your continued guidance for Whitehill. May we know your will and leading in all that we do. May we be faithful in our service to you and the community of Raceview and all of Ipswich. Lord, I pray that this church will be like a beacon on a hill directing all to you. Lord, that your light will shine in this community like a raging fire in the night. In all things, I pray that we'll honour you in all that we do. We thank you for the guidance that you provide us in your word. As we look to the coming days, I turn to the words of the Apostle Paul. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he'll empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as for all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able to, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.